And that
Blog Talk
became
Radio.
A problem because it was kind of like, it was like a purchasing, obvious purchasing after a while. Yeah.
All right. Shalom, good evening. Once again, it's another episode of Swear Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Rashad. I'm one of the teachers here with ISNH. We have branches and school locations in Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, Rochester, New York, Houston, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, and here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Again, welcome once again. One thing we're doing is I'm putting this on tape, if you will, or on Blog Talk, is that we're taking some of the our young soldiers / officers, young men. We're starting to take them into the soldiership, into the officership, coming into the nation of Israel, and just want to give them a foundation about why we're doing this why it's a military thing, why the soldiership, why the military ship. So I'm gonna continue with that, and as the weeks continue and going through class, we're going to be going into some of the things on the soldiers test that was put together by our elders at 1 West 125th Street, Masha Ariyah Yaquab, Yeshayashar, Lahav Yeshayashar, and Gazak. Go back to the original school called 1 West, the Israelite school of the Israeli school of University Project, ISUPK, where it was the original acronym. And it's pretty much the flagship for all the different schools that you might see, or different camps you might see on YouTube or out in the world today, especially in the Americas. They pretty much umbrella under that original school. There are other Israelite offshoots that came from the commandment keepers, like the Yahweh Ben Yahwehs, the Ben Amis coming out of Chicago, what have you. I continue going further back. But for the offshoot that came out of the commandment keepers in New York City, that did become ISUPK, the Israeli School of Universal Practical Knowledge, started by Abba Bibbins and the brother Yaquab. We are offshoot. We stem from that. Like I said, it's pretty much all the Hebrew Israelite camps you see on YouTube pretty much now all pretty much stem from that original branch, that original root. So we've been going over this before. I'm continuing on it. That we want to get into the mind of the Most High. We want to get into the mind of the Most High and how he does things to make things easy for ourselves, to make these our transitions and the things that we're learning, to make it more acceptable. Especially as we live in these last days where there's a lot of deception, a lot of subterfuge, if you will, that's taking place, a lot of false prophets, a lot of false teachings that are taking place. We want to be able to make sure our foundation, make sure our root is sure, our foundation is clear. Again, because there's so many different avenues of deception that are out here. You know what? I think deception might be the wrong word right now. There's so many avenues of distraction, really, is a better word, that it'd be easy for a person to really get caught up into the distractions that this world now offers, whereas there weren't as many distractions when I first came into this knowledge back in 1988. We had cable TV, but it had just switched over to where HBO was just starting to become 24 hours. You had two premium movie channels, the movie channel and HBO. MTV, you know, we're going back to the days of when Michael Jackson first got on Thriller as a black artist, what have you. Those days, there was only one ESPN. There was no Cartoon Network. There was USA Today. USA Network was a popular cable channel. KTLA out of Chicago, I believe it was. WGN out of Chicago. KTLA out of Los Angeles. And then TBN. Not TBN, but Turner Broadcasting. What channel was that? Well, I remember we used to watch a lot of wrestling. Channel 17, was it? Coming out of Atlanta. There wasn't a lot of distractions at the time. Not nearly quite as many as there is today. There was no, remember, there wasn't even a Blockbuster during these times to get distracted with that. This is when the library system was in full effect. You had to know the Dewey Decimal System to actually do research. And this is where our elders, to give them a lot of credit, a lot of honor, that they spent many hours in the New York City Library doing a lot of research, old school research, not going up to maybe using some microfiche, if you will. But there was no internet back then where we could go and log on. Just say, okay, Google or Siri or whatever other names are out here, ask a question, and it's literally at your fingertips. It wasn't around. But we know that that's also prophesied that one of the signs of the last days is that knowledge will be increased. When we read the book of Daniel chapter 12, it says that knowledge shall be increased. And we look at just that in the past 20 years, the way technology has really skyrocketed. I remember getting a computer that was 84K computer that she was really doing something. That seemed like that was, oh my God, he was really doing something. And there was not even a thought at the time about gigahertz or terabytes or what have you, or gigabytes. When Radio Shack was the go-to place for to get an up-brand computer, and when Apple first came out with the Macintosh and stuff, or the computers was the old DOS before Microsoft came out with Windows or what have you, that it was nowhere near on the level of technology that we have access to today. It just wasn't. It was not available. They say that the smartphones that people have now have more memory and more function than the computers that were used to send the rockets to the moon back in 1969, back in the late 60s. So technology has definitely increased in these days and times, as according to the prophecies, as according to what the scripture says in Daniel the 12th chapter. So again, with all this being said, for all this, as many distractions are out here in the world today, and I got two young men that we're working with here in Albuquerque, the brother Kaban and the brother Izan. Here, I'm asking if they can be readers for me today. Let's go to Revelation chapter 17 and the last verse. All right, Revelation chapter 17 and the last verse. Whoever's got it can read it. If that's the last verse, yeah.
And the woman was now thought. Is that great city?
That's chapter 17?
I'm sorry. That's the last verse.
Of which chapter? Give me one second. Chapter 12.
That's verse 17?
Yes.
And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and was to make war with the remnant of her seed, the remnant, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Right. So it let us know that, again, this is a prophecy that was given to us from John the Revelator on the island of Patmos. This is 2021. 2,000 years ago, almost to the day, John the Revelator gave us this prophecy. In the last days, another one of the signs that we can look to and understand to know what time we're living in, the dragon being the spiritual entity, the spiritual demonic force that is against the nation of Israel, that is against Israel coming together, that is the enemy, the adversary, the foe, to keep us down. That one of his tactics would be he would be wroth with the woman. And we know according to prophecies and according to scriptures that the woman referred to here in Revelation chapter 12, the woman is referring to the nation of Israel. That there's a war, an anger that is directed towards the nation of Israel. And you can see this in the news today as you look at things like Black Lives Matter. You look at the stealing of the water rights up there in South North Dakota. And you still see the as the Haitian refugees were literally getting whipped on the border of down by Laredo, Texas, as if it was the 1800s, as immigration agents were literally on horseback with whips, like horse whips, whipping people trying to get across the border, come to America, the land of the free, home of the brave. You can look throughout the news again and see all these different types of uprisings and racial incursions going taking place, again, which is all part of the prophecy. But it says that the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. But those of us that have survived the outrages of slavery, survived the from not just the current pandemic of COVID, but from smallpox, from sickle cell, to AIDS, to the war on crime, the war on poverty, the common cold, all these things that have been used, abortion clinics, the legalizing of abortion, where I believe the last studies that I did was from 1972 through 2017, there had been over 14 million legal abortions just in the so-called black community. Now, if you think about that, that's 14 million people dead. If you count the city of Chicago from the latest census and combine that with the census numbers of New York City, that's where you get about 14 million people. That is, so if New York City and Chicago would be wiped off the face of the earth right now, that would be the equivalent of 14 million people. And that's how many legal abortions have taken place just in the black community alone from 1972 with the legalization of abortions through 2017. So you can only imagine now that we're in the year 2021, how much that number might have increased of legal abortions just in the black community, not in the Hispanic, not in the so-called Puerto Rican, so-called Mexican, just in the so-called African-American black communities, over 14 million legal abortions just taking place. And that's not including now death by drug overdose, death by gang violence, death from AIDS, death from cancer, as far as cigarette cancer, throat cancer, lung cancer, or what have you, that the numbers are mind-boggling when you think about it. So it says that there's going to be a war against the remnant of her seed, but it then gets very specific who the war is going to be against, those which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, that, yes, there's a war against us. There's a war against those who have this testimony. There's a war against those, and the war is a war for your mind, a war to try and keep your mind distracted with all the different type of distractions that are available and presented to us in this day and time. The war on our attention spans, to make sure that our attention spans ain't worth a damn. Again, if it's not accessible within a few seconds, the mind goes to sleep, gets bored, gets idle, starts to wonder, and it's just not really interested. It's got to be a lot of bells and whistles. The media's got to have some type of nudity, vulgarity, or what have you, to where it really just kind of keeps us engaged, as opposed to now us really being able to concentrate on the scriptures, us being able to really concentrate on what the plans of the Most High really are. Again, with all this being said, there's definitely a war against those who keep the commandments of the Most High. There's a war against us to keep from gathering. There's a war against us on a social level, on a class level, on a media level, on not just the common Crips and Bloods, disciples and Latin Kings, or what have you, but there's many different wars and many different levels just trying to keep us divided, trying to keep us separated. Even within the Israelite community, you can see where there's a lot of division has been nourished and propagated and formulated to just, again, keep us divided by almost any means necessary. Again, so keep this all in mind, that these are the things that we have to keep in mind, that, yes, we are definitely in a war. Okay, we are definitely in a war. So with that, I'm going to continue on with the class that we started the other day. I already went through the first page of that before. We're going to pick up with the second page. If we go to, somebody please get Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15. And for y'all two brothers, this is going to be a kind of a review, and then we're going to move on from there. Ecclesiastes, yeah, in the Bible, chapter 3, verse 15.
Chapter 3, verse 15?
Yes, sir.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 15. That which has been is not, and that which is to have already been. And God requires that which is past.
Right. So what we want to get out of this is that God, history repeats itself. Right. History repeats itself. And God requires that which is past. To where the old adage, where they say, if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. Well, that one thing is true. If you don't understand your history, if you don't understand how the cycle of things work, don't understand how the Most High works, then there's no way you can know what time you live, be completely aware of what time you should be living in and what time to be getting ready for. Matter of fact, this is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Jonah verse 1. Matter of fact, let's hold that and give me Romans 13, 11. Let's hold this again. Let's get Romans chapter 13, verse 11.
And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up out of sleep.
Right, so, here this, again, the scriptures give us another instruction, another clue, some more insight, that we got to know what time it is. Right? But are we aware of God's time, or are we still thinking about our own times? We might be thinking about our own biological clocks, that you might be at an age where you figure that all your friends around you getting married, having kids, and doing this or whatever, and your biological clock is ticking, so you're missing out on something, or you're a late bloomer, or you're behind, or what have you, and there might be something wrong with you. That might be a mentality that people have today that has nothing to do with God. And you know what time it is, as far as some people might think about time as far as the nuclear clock. Even I know a lot of people in this generation don't know what that means. But how close to nuclear destruction and World War III are we? Because everybody understands at one time that World War III was going to mean Armageddon. It was going to be the end of all worlds. And that was going to be the war that Christ introduced himself against Christ. But what this is talking about is, do we understand the cycles of God? Do we understand what cycle God is living in? Do we understand the time that God is dealing with, as opposed to our own perception of time and what we think is late, early, or what we should be working on, what we shouldn't be working on, all right, to understand how the Spirit really works or what God has really going on. To help us get, hopefully, a little better understanding of that, now let's go ahead and go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Going back into the Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. To everything there is a season, and at times every purpose under the heaven.
Right, so it's telling us, as Isaiah read Romans 13:11, it says, and that knowing the time, right, that we got to know what time it is. Now, God just read for us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 that there's a time and season for everything. So are you aware of God's time and you aware of God's season and what God has going on, especially if God says he requires that which is past, and especially if God is saying there's a cycle to everything. Are you in tune with God's cycle? Are you in tune with what the Father has going on? And a lot of people are not. We really do miss the boat. We don't pay attention to prophecies. We don't pay attention to prophecies, and we also don't pay attention to God's cycles, to where we don't have a clue of what God's talking about. We don't have a clue about when it's time to do this, when it's time to do that. Now, he's going to give us some examples of the different times, different seasons that God has established, that if you're being sensitive, being observant to what the Most High has going on, it's very easy to see. Keep reading, please. So read that for me again.
Everything there is a season. And the times, every purpose under the heaven.
So there's a time and place for everything. There's a time and place for everything. Reading on, sir.
Verse 2. A time to be born, a time to die.
All right, so, I mean, just getting some of the obvious out the way. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. What season is God in? Are we aware of this? Are we conscious of this? Or are we just letting things just go by and happen as they happen? To where now we really are kind of numb or oblivious to what God has going on. So there's time to be born and to enjoy life and enjoy being new and enjoying learning new things. There's a time to die. It's time to let things go. There's a cycle to everything. Reading on.
A time to plant.
It's time to plant. It's time to take seed and plant something. Get ready to build. Time to prepare for summer, if you will. Go ahead.
It's time to pluck up that which is planted.
Then there's a time to pluck up that which was planted. There's a time you got to get things ready to receive the seed. There's time, okay, cool. Now it's time to pluck everything up. So just giving you all the different types of examples. Keep reading, sir. We're going to read down through verse 8. We're going to read from where you're at all the way down through.
Verse 3. The time to kill and the time to heal.
Okay, so God tells you that there's a time to what? There's a time to kill. And when you go through the scriptures and you start studying, you even find out there was a time of, well, we're going to read it a little later, but it's this time of war. That there was a time, as ancient Israelites, there was a war season. That this the time that, yes, we're going to battle. We're going to war. Every year, there was a war season that we would go to battle. That also means there was a time that season we didn't go to battle. So here it tells that there's a time to kill and a time to what? And then it's the time to heal. So what season is God in? We know God's a God of love. I'm not going to mistake that. But guess what? God's also a God of war. So what season or what cycle is God in so that you might be going in the right path? That you might be knowing that you're going in the right direction. You might be stuck in the time to kill, but with God, it's the time to heal. Or you might be stuck in the time to heal, and this is what God said, no, right now it's time to kill. But if we're not being observant and we're just living life just living day to day, just letting things go, but we're not observing anything, we're not watching anything, then a lot of these things can catch us by surprise. And you might have the greatest intention, but your intention is still at the wrong time. And it really might cost you. You might be making the wrong moves now and kind of be upset with yourself, like, well, hold up, Just 2 weeks ago, we was doing things this way. How come it was right then, but now it's wrong now? Because we're in a different season. Because we're in a different time. Therefore, at that time, that was good and proper. But now at this time, it's not good and proper. Because are we aware of what season God is in? Reading on, sir.
The time to break down and the time to build up.
There's time to get to break things down. You got to break down foundation. You got to break down walls. You got to break down things that were built. It's time to break down. But then there's also time to build up. So are you in a position where you're trying to build something up, but it's where God is saying, no, it's time to break down? Or are you trying to break down something where God is trying to build something up? Read. There's a time to weep. There's time to be sad. There's a time to be crying. But there's also time to be laughing. So what season is God in? Read. There's a time to mourn, but then it's time to dance. Read. It's time to cast away, get rid of things, the house cleaning, if you will. Go ahead. Read.
It's time to embrace.
Brother, I love you. Man, bring it in. I'm living rid of that. What was that movie? It was a Chris Farley movie. It said, brothers got a hug. It was me and my brother used to love that. Man, I can't remember the name of it now. But sometimes it's time for us to, as brothers, we had to embrace one another. But there's time when, no, this ain't time for embracing. It's time to be holding on to one another. No, it's time that we got to build. We got to do something. We got to get to work. Read. It's time to get things. Read. And there's also time to lose. It's a time to let go. Read. There's a time to keep. Read. And a time to cast away. What verse are we in? Go ahead.
Time to rent.
The time to rent. That means to rip things apart. Read.
And
then there's a time to sow. A time to bring things together. Go ahead. It's time to keep silence. Read. I cannot say that. I couldn't elaborate on that verse even if I wanted to. Go ahead.
Time to love.
There's a time to love. Go ahead.
And
there's also a time to hate. Read. There's a time of war. Go ahead. And there's also a time of peace. So we have to now kind of get a better understanding, be more observant according to the prophecies and what's going on around us. You see, what season are we in? With that, give me St. John chapter 3, verse 8. I quote a lot, but maybe now this will make a lot more sense. St. John chapter 3 and verse 8.
John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth,
So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
So what's this telling us about how the Spirit moves? Can't predict it. But you can observe it. You can't predict it or control it, but we can observe it. It's like, you know, the wind, right? When I think about the wind, I think about the jet stream. And they can tell you that there's times when the jet stream is according to the way currents blow or what have you, that it's summertime. Then they tell you with the jet stream this time that the way it blows, it's wintertime. But they can observe how it blows. They can observe when El Nino's coming. They can observe when the Santa Ana winds are coming. They can observe when it's going to be an extra cold winter, what have you. It's some of the things that they observe, that people observe. So there's a lot of things around us in nature that if we look at nature, and a lot of people understand nature and God to be connected, that if you observe nature and observe things, you'll be able to see and observe and know what time it is. Be able to see and know what season we're in. Well, that's the beginnings of understanding how God works. All right? That's the beginning of really understanding how God works. You start to recognize patterns. And as we recognize these patterns, we understand, okay, now it's time for this. It's time for that. It's time to, like I said, we read earlier, it said time to embrace and time to not embrace. So this time where as brothers, it's going to really be about brotherhood and friendships and these type of things and going out and doing everything together from times as brothers. We're going out, we're partying, we're going out socializing, we're going out and we're having a carefree time, I guess is the word I want to use, a real carefree time. But there's going to be other times when, no, it's time to buckle down. It's time to be serious. It's time to have your head on a swivel. It's time to really be conscious of your surroundings. It's time to really observe what the hell is going on so you don't get caught up. But then do you stay that way? Do we stay just super Robocop, just super vigilant, just super Terminator? I'm just looking for every little thing and every little possible thing that can go wrong? No. It's different times for everything. And are we really in tune with the Spirit to know what time we should be living in? True. So what season are we living in? Okay. From now, let's go to Ecclesiastes. Solomon dropped the line in Ecclesiastes. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 11.
Chapter
1, verse 9 through 11.
Chapter 1, verse 9 through 11.
Please.
The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
Again, we need a reminder of this cycles to everything. Right, there's a cycle to every single thing that God has created. From Halley's Comet is on a cycle, to a meteor showers be on a cycle, to eclipses be on a cycle, to the day be on a cycle, seasons, summer, winter, summer, was it summer, fall, winter, spring. Everything's on a season. Everything has a cycle. Everything. Your heartbeat has a cycle. Your bloodstream has a cycle. Your lymphatic system has a cycle. There's a sleep cycle. You can't name something that does not have a cycle. Everything has a cycle. And here it's telling us that the thing which has been is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. Everything's going to cycle back around. There's no getting around. That's going to happen. Go ahead.
Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, and hath been already of old, which was before?
Again, history repeats itself. You can see it in the movies now. They got Candyman coming out again. I just heard that Doom just got remastered.
More with music, everyone always elsewhere, they come up with a new craze, a new dance.
Right.
Well, you'll tell us, like, oh, we used to have this, or it's just like that. It might be a little tweak, but it's not new.
It's nothing new.
We thought that's why I like the new music. No, we had techno back in the day, which techno was pretty much the same thing as dubstep. You call it different words, or you say, well, we use this technique, this kind of music, so it's a little bit different, but still the foundation is the same.
It's still the same. It's everything's recycled. Everything on the cycle. Go ahead. Verse 11.
Verse 11. There is no remembrance of former
things. And there is no remembrance of former things. And this is going more into reincarnation. But a lot of times we don't remember that this, but whatever it is we're going through, it's been here before. This cycle that we're in right now, it's been here before. But a lot of times, just because we're not paying attention, we don't think about it. Remember, hold up, wait a minute. We've been here before. Hold up, wait a minute. We've done this before. Now, you know, one good example we use with this scripture here also is, how many times have you ever experienced deja vu? What is deja vu?
Feeling familiarity as if you've already been in the situation.
Whoa. That's right. I've seen y'all before.
Deja vu. I feel like I've had a dream where I've been in the situation. And then it happens, and I'm like, I feel like it's already happened. It's feeling like you're some sort of psychic. You have a crack machine that happens. Usually it's not, but it also happens.
True, and that's what it is. And to me, those little reminders that, yes, you have been here before. You've experienced this before. Your spirit has. Go ahead. Anybody in verse 11?
Even shall there be any remembrance.
How do you remember something that hasn't happened yet? Well, it's telling you that you're not going to remember something that... Read that part again? There's no remembrance of things that are to come. Yeah, that somehow... There must be a blueprint then. There must already be a destiny. And that you're not going to remember that this was the pattern you're supposed to be on. This was the path you're supposed to be taking. That there's not going to be a remembrance of this. Go ahead.
Those that shall come after.
Well, with those that shall come after. Okay. Right. But now, thank God. Give me Romans 15 and 4 real quick.
Chapter 15, verse 4.
Yeah.
But whatsoever things were written aforetime were written
aforetime. So, again, so why is the Most High? Go ahead and put this scripture in now also for us. That we should be on right now. What time? I'm thinking about
54. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning.
Yes. Yes. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. The book of Malachi, the third chapter, the 16th verse.
Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that fear the Most High spake often one to another.
Verse 16.
The Most High hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written for him, for them that fear the Most High.
So, for those that feared God, wanted to make sure they were doing things right by God, what did God have written for those that wanted to make sure they were doing things right by God? And that book of remembrance is called what today? The Bible. That we might remember the works of God. We might remember how God does things. Now let's go to Psalm chapter 44 and verse 1. Psalm chapter 44 and verse 1.
Psalm 44 and 1?
Yes, sir. Psalm chapter 44, verse 1.
We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us that worked out this in them days, in the time of old.
And again, we have heard with our ears, oh God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. Again, so we can catch the pattern. We might be able to catch the cycles, how God works. It was already written down. It was written down that these are the things that the Father did with our forefathers back in the day. And if that's what he did in the past, then what can we look forward to? There's going to be a recycling of it. That this is how he did things in the past. He's going to bring that back. So now if we understanding that, then we start to see or start to move with wisdom. We start to move with God's wisdom and know, hold up, wait a minute. When this type of action happened before, when our forefathers did things this way, this got them messed up. But when they did it this way in this time, that's why this was the right move. You got to speak up, Kyle.
I don't know why that's starting to pop up. We got an apple tree. Now you got music going on. Okay, so most I just said don't touch the apple tree. What am I supposed to do?
If I use that analogy, which I can't use, it's a pretty good car. So, go back to the garden. Why was Adam kicked out of paradise? He started listening to his woman instead of God. Can we look and see where that type of cycle is being established again? Trying to get men to follow a woman and not follow what God wants.
Thought I got the right girl, I thought this ball worked out, why the fuck is this happening to me? It's very the Bible. Another man in a situation, why this happens to him?
We read about that. We read about where men now were looking for a deeper wisdom than what God had to offer. That there's got to be something deeper than this right here. And what God is talking about is not opening my mind enough. It's not stretching my mind further enough. It's not deep enough. It's that's too simple. That's too, it can't be that. It's got to be something deeper. And I got to find the deeper reaches of the mind and of the spirit and of the outer banks or whatever they got going on. I got to find something deeper that I really can't get my mind to something as simple as just reading the Bible. I got to get my mind over to the Kundalini. What is the Kundalini? Why does, if that's bad for you, why does it feel so damn good or what have you? That I need to go and search this out. We said it was Solomon, though. What got Solomon, after God spoke to Solomon, really had a relationship with Solomon, what got Solomon to go off in his old age? He said he searched after all madness. He wanted to understand, why do men forsake God and go after these other things? He thought he was a little arrogant, I guess, and said, well, I need to figure this out. And that wound up pulling him completely off. So do we see these cycles happening again? I'm sorry, Kyle, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're pointing out the same kind of question. Why did they go off the path?
Proverbs 12:15. Right, so there's a cycle where a person is going to do what? Well, they mind what they put together as opposed to what? Let me follow some counsel.
Once someone hears what they did, they're like, oh, what would you do that? Well, if you're a team, you know, got counsel or some advice, I would hold you up a stupid idea. And it's funny, all these things we're talking about, these problems, happen all the time.
Yeah.
It's not something new under the sun, like you just said. The way the fool's right in his own eyes, sometimes when people think I have the right answer, then it turns out to be very foolish.
And what makes the way foolish is they're not aware of how the cycle of God is on. They're not aware of, oh, no, God's got things going this way right now. And because I'm not observant of that, I'm not checking it out. When I applied this wisdom before, this wisdom worked. So I'm going to keep applying this because I saw it work before. But we're at a time where God was going to the right, but now God's going to the left. And that's why now this time is the wrong way. That's why this time that's foolish because that's not the cycle that the Father's in.
You got to be up with trends, you know, things change, and you got to be able to adapt. Because it's not that things change, we think it's something new. It's not that things change, it's just a different cycle, different direction. You're doing something different, and it gets gratification, like, oh, yeah, you know, I was correct. This is something new. It's just something that's new. It's approach. Whereas you got caught in a different cycle, but it's not something new. I'm sorry.
But as a good metaphor, like things change, you might be stuck on. It's funny because I just had I'm used to things being this way. Like I was right how things should have been, how things were going. When things all of a sudden change, you end up in the wilderness, I'm not used to this. Like, what the hell? Like, no.
Right.
My chance of this is the way things are supposed to be. But yeah, right. Something like, before, not like it's something new, you just got caught up in a cycle. So it's new to you when you think it's new. It's not like this whole cryptocurrency thing. Back then, the American dollar was the crypto. So if you invested in that, you didn't know if it was going to blow up or be good, and then it worked out. So yeah, this is new things like not. People back in the day, bonds and stocks were cryptocurrency. You in your time, you haven't heard about those.
Right.
And if you have, there's no guarantees about whether it worked or not. You up and down this path, and then it got to the point where it reaches ceiling and it's done. There's been depressions, and they're talking about we're going to do another depression. Everyone's afraid. It's like, this has happened before. There are times when people are extremely rich, or losing money. And every time, these times, like, that's already like, oh, fuck, you know, this new thing's happening. It's like, no, this happened to people.
Yeah.
And if you listen to your parents, people who have been through it before, they tell you, hey, you got to do this. You question, like, why don't I do this? I've been there with you.
True.
Where was it all this whole Black Lives Matter thing? You guys went to the time of Martin Luther King, which I don't know if you were at the time. You didn't hear the time of Martin Luther King, all these upheavals and revolution, all this.
Right,
stuff.
Right.
Where Black Lives Black Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these Black Lives, I guess Black Empowerment movements and stuff, like Black groups and stuff. They're like, yeah, we got to do this. And like, oh yeah, everyone thinks that's new. It's like, now, you guys ever dealt with that?
Sure. No, we did. Yeah, try.
Well, because things are a new cycle. Or sorry, it is just a new cycle. We think it's just something new. No, what's the word? Teenagers always think no one. If that's something never.
Right. Right.
I was a teenager too one time. First part of puberty. All my parents would understand.
They've never been loved before. Right.
Like your mom and dad just got together out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Or sorry, time just popped into this one that you've always been together. So the first, like, or I get a woman, I make her my wife. My parents don't understand the love I feel.
Exactly, exactly.
I just don't understand the love I feel. Or outside of, like, this is something what's that song? Like, I know the words new. Like, so many different songs.
Right.
Yeah, first person ever.
All in love with you. Right.
And then you'll be the first person to ever go through a divorce. First person to have an argument with your woman.
Get a heartbreak, right.
Or first person to get a heartbreak. First person to have a kid in the world. That's how it gets me. It's like you're millions of Americans, millions of people. You'll be the first person to ever have a kid and to know what loving your child is.
And it's true. Let's get Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2.
Proverbs 18, verse 2?
Yeah.
A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart makes it stutter.
So, what's it telling you? I don't want a fool don't want to hear no counsel, but that he can come up with what he thinks is his own idea. I'm coming up with something I think is. I'm not gonna let you tell me what to do. I got to come up with my own idea. I got to make it feel like it's original to me.
I can give you more. A lot of people don't want to understand how things work. They just want to hear you. That makes sense. Like in life, we don't understand how stuff works. We don't understand the finer details of life. We don't understand how to make things work. It's just, you know, you got to get out there. You got to experience. But apparently, you won't understand from until you. No counsel. You don't need to tell you could have gone to counsel or ask advice. But not. No, like, you're a woman. I don't need to ask my dad or anybody how they got a woman or how I'm looking for a woman. I just got to get out of the dating market, go to the clubs, and just get my relationship. I just got to experience that for the first time. Then I'll get it. All right. I guess that's how I say it.
Okay, I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to fight it, bro. Psalms chapter 43 and verse 5.
Psalms 43 verse 5.
I'm sorry, 143.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works, and I muse the work of thy hand.
Well, so, again, this is David saying, I remember the days of old. I go back and I study how the Father did things before. I study the cycles, how the Father works. He says, I remember the days of old, and I meditate on all thy works. I'm just trying to discover my own thoughts and my own whatever. But it says, David said, well, the thing he did was meditate on how the Most High does things, his cycles, everything. He really meditated on the works of the Most High. How does the Most High work? How does the Most High cycle things? He says, I muse on the work of thy hands. We know the muse, again, is constantly meditating on how's the Most High work? How's the Most High put things together so that now he might know how to make the right decisions, right circumstances, that's going to please the Most High. That's going to make the Most High happy with him because he's always thinking about, okay, how does the Most High do things? How does he cycle things? It's not just a one-size-fits-all. It's not that every single time I'm in a situation, I do it this way. But in my understanding of God's cycles, in my understanding of his timeline. From there, let's go to Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 9.
Isaiah 51 verse 9. Awake, put on strength, hold on to the Lord. Awake as in ancient days.
So here, again, we're looking at the cycle of things, and part of the prayer that Isaiah is telling us is that we're asking the Father to wake up and put on his strength like he did in the ancient days. Like when the Most High was fighting for our nation, not just for individuals, when he fought for our nation, what was our nation doing? They got the Most High to come and fight for us. What was our nation as a people, as one? What were we doing to get the Most High on our side? And not just as an individual, but as a nation. We can go back and we can read salvation. Whatever captivity we were in, what is it that the nation of Israel had to do to get out of their captivity together? What did we have to, as a nation, have to do? What were the works we had to do to get the Most High's attention that he would come and save the whole nation? He had the whole nation in captivity. We can study those works. What was the nation doing? They got the whole nation in captivity. And then what did the nation do to get out of captivity, to get the Most High to put on his strength to come and save us? So it says, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake, as in the ancient days. Go ahead.
In the generations of old.
In the generations of old. We have to go back. We have to. What do we as a nation have to do? Said the Father saved the nation. It's not, okay, we have the Black Lives Matter movement going on. We have all these different type of unions and what have you happening and popping off and entrepreneurship going on. But as a nation, we're not saved yet. So what is it we have to do as a nation? What did we do in the days of old? Said the Most High saved the nation, not just individuals. Go ahead.
And I have made the death of us. Now,
is that
not it that
has the dragon? Right, cover Hop and the dragon. That goes back to when how did Mosai bring down the walls of Jericho? That when we needed a fortress, the nation needed finances. And how did Mosai take care of us as a nation? What did he do? How did he cut down the dragon? How did he cut down our enemies? It's as opposed to now we keep running into enemies as a nation. What did the Mosai do? What did we have to do to get the Mosai to fight for us so that there were no obstacles? So that regardless of what our enemies thought, tried to fight against us, what plans or whatever they put in effect, what did we do as a nation? As a nation, to get the Most High on our side, that he would fight for the nation. So if we don't go and meditate on these things, we'll be kind of a cycle of, well, what do I got to do just to save myself for today? What do I got to do just to make sure I'm straight for today? But we won't be thinking about what does our nation have to do for our nation to be saved, for our nation to come out of this as a nation. From there, let's go to Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21.
Chapter 5, verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old.
Right, so again, hopefully we're seeing a little pattern right here. It says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. And in this prayer, we can see that how's the Most High turning us back to him? That for everything that we're trying, from the Black Panthers to the real militant movements, to the Buffalo Soldiers going all the way back to that time, to we had financial strongholds. There were many Black Wall Streets across America. Up and down the Eastern Seaboard, there were many Black Wall Streets. One more time, sir?
Oh, there's a big Black business movement, basically. We're talking about support your local Black
business. Yeah. We've seen this before. But why did those things fail? Why did those things fall? We've seen where individuals have worked to build themselves up. But why are we as a nation still on the bottom? Why as a nation are we still here? We go back in and we study the history of the Israelites and our travels throughout the world. We see that some of the greatest countries, greatest civilizations from the Aztec Empire, with all the jade and the gold and the silver that they had acquired, why'd they fall? We can look at Timbuktu. One of the richest gold mines in history, where we literally had our money, our gold with our faces on it. We look at how when we built up the Kremlin, that's kind of popular today. St. Petersburg Square over there in Russia, Buckingham Palace over there in England, all the castles in throughout Germany and throughout Europe. I'm sorry, I just can't hear you, Kyle. Well, we literally ruled over Europe. The original Count Dracula, Vlad the Impaler. That was us. That was our people. So we had riches, and we had castles and moats, and we had commerce, and we had all these great things. But why did we still fall? Was it about acquiring business? Was it about acquiring import-export businesses or what have you that saved us? Or what is it that we're still lacking? And we're going to go and study history. And again, for all the great empires we did build up that still fell, why did they fall? Why did Mosai still allow them to fall? So we want to come back now and make sure we're studying what is it that we need to be doing as a nation so we can get God to fight for us, like he did for our forefathers, fighting for us in the days of old. Let's go to the Apocrypha. And what time you got, Kyle?
I got 8:31.
All right, we'll move a few more then. Let's go to the Apocrypha, 1 Ezra, chapter 9, verse 46. 1 Ezra, chapter 9, verse 46.
9 verse.
You said
it was 46?
Yes, sir.
First Ezra, chapter 9, verse 46. And when he opened the law, they stood all straight up. So Ezra blessed the Lord God Most High, God of hosts, Almighty.
All right, cool. So he said when they had opened the what? The law. So we went back into the scriptures and went back to the way God does things. And they stood all straight up. So Ezra's blessed the Lord God Most High, the God of hosts, Almighty. And I want to get this confusion because here it's giving us one of the names, one of the titles of the Father, that he's the Lord of hosts, right? That he's the Lord of armies. And this is something that we want to keep mind of, that there's going to be a cycle, or we're coming into a cycle of where the Most High is gathering together an army. The Most High is gathering together an army, a spiritual army as well as a physical army. That we're coming back into that time of a cycle. We're coming back into that time again. From now, let's go to Psalms chapter 102 and verse 18.
Psalms chapter 102.
And verse 18.
This shall be written for the generation to come. People which shall be created shall praise the Most High.
Cool. So, you know, this book of remembrance that was put together, it says that this shall be written for the generation to come. And the people which shall be created shall praise the Most High. And now, for us to be able to look back and see how God worked with our forefathers, how the works that the Father did with our forefathers when he was with them, and the things that our forefathers had to do to get the Most High on our side as a nation, that now we can go back. We can go back and read, so we can see what works did our people do, so that now we can praise the Father, as opposed to now it's not we're fighting against God, or as opposed to now sometimes it seems like God's fighting against us, and now we can get on the same page as the Father. We can go back and we can now study. We can look at it, we can see what cycles the Father's on. This is probably going to be the last two scriptures. Let's go to Psalms chapter 78, verse 4 through 6. Psalms chapter 78, verses 4 through 6.
Psalms 78, verses 4 through 6. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come to praise the Most High.
Right, so we're supposed to show these cycles to our children so that now our children now understand this is why things got to be done this way. That things were done this way in the past, and now we're seeing where the Most High is bringing this type of cycle back. We need to get with the cycles of how the Father's doing things. And for a lot of people in the world, they don't know what the cycle of the Most High is. So they're just living their lives where they live their lives. But this book of remembrance was written for us so we might understand God's way of doing things, the Father's way of doing things, and not just have to wait till we experience. Oh, man, that's a wall. Now I got to hit the wall. Maybe I shouldn't have gone this way. I got to hit the electric fence. Oh, there's only had to hit the electrical fence. That if I just follow the directions or follow the Spirit, understand the cycle of how the Father's doing things, it really make our lives a lot easier when it comes to the Most High. So it says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength. Go ahead.
His wonderful works that he has done.
And his wonderful works that he has done. How do we as a nation get the Father back on our side to do these wonderful works? Go Go ahead.
Verse 5. We establish the testimony of Jacob. They appointed a law in Israel.
What's the testimony? You go to court and give a testimony. It's you give an eyewitness account of something that you actually saw. So establish a testimony in Jacob. So within the nation of Israel, the Most High established a testimony, an eyewitness account that our nation, the works of God. We're the ones who've actually seen how God works. When we did right by God, we've seen his works. When we as a nation did right by God, we've seen those works. So he established a testimony, an eyewitness account, that we might be able to say, that our forefathers can say, this is how God worked with us. This is how God did not work with us. And it was written down for us to be able to go back and see the seasons that we should be in. Go ahead.
He appointed a law in Israel.
And then he appointed a law in Israel. Do, according to the season, do things this way. According to the season, do things that way. Go ahead.
He commanded our fathers that they should make them know to their children.
Yeah, this, we're supposed to be letting our children know about the cycles of the Father. Not just gotten in nature and watching a sunflower go through its phases, or watch a hummingbird go through the phases, but on a prophetical level, are we really being caught up and understanding the prophecies, understanding what's going on, so we might understand God's time zone, God's timeline. Go ahead.
That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arrive and declare them to their children.
And because this was to be declared to our children's children, to our children's children. So now we can start to understand these cycles. So now we can stay on the right path, staying in the right place, stay in God's good side, because we're walking in the Spirit. We're walking with him. Last one, Job chapter 19, verses 23 and 24.
Job chapter 19?
Job chapter 19, verse 23 and 24.
Job chapter 19, verse 23, verse 24. Oh, that my words were not written. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen, lead in the rock forever.
Yeah, and this is what Job said. I wish that this was written down. And luckily for us, it was, that his words were put in a book, that these words would be written with a graven pen, with an iron pen, so we would never be able to forget it, that we might be able to catch the cycles. That there was a cycle. Job had a great cycle. There's time when God was blessing Job. There's time when the Most High was testing Job. There's a time when the Most High was proving Job. This is my servant. There's nothing you can take from him, and there's nothing you can give him that's going to stop him from being my servant. There's an understanding of the cycles of how the Father works, so that we're moving in the right direction. We're moving the right way. So with that, I do want to thank everybody who did tune in as the brothers came and joined us for the live class here in Albuquerque. And we will pick this up again tomorrow's Wednesday. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. All right, we'll see what happens tomorrow. We can't continue this. Again, I do want to get to the point where we're leading up to the soldiership in Israel, that the Most High did lead Israel out of Egypt in armies, and that the Most High has put an army together again now. And this is the purpose of the soldiership. This is the purpose of why it's important that we get our minds ready to be soldiers. We get our minds ready for the military aspect of Israel, as well as the friendships, as well as relationships, but also understanding God's time, that it's a time for putting together an army. It's time for putting together for when the saints go marching in, that we got to keep all this in perspective. We got to keep all this in mind. So with that, again, I want to thank everybody who did tune in, whether you're here live with us now, or whether you might catch the archive show. Hope you might get some out of this to help you on your journey, your path, and your destiny with the Most High. We're going to say shalom.
Shalom.
And stay in the Spirit. Shalom.